coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
And he said, we want to take you to Jesus. And he and some of the other guys that I work with really wanted to see. They saw that I was...
You were the paralyzed guy.
Yeah.
And they were the friends that took you to Jesus.
Yeah, Josh used that analogy and said, we want to carry you to Jesus. You know, dig a hole in the roof and lower you down.
Mm-hmm. Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Good news declared, God's love delivered. Welcome to the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Ever found yourself in a spiritual desert where the only offering you can conjure up is a bag of dust? That's the place of crisis where one of our guests found himself not long ago. It's never fun to be in a place like that. But when it happens while working in ministry, it's usually called burnout. Today, Bram and Sandy Floria sit down with a ministry-minded American couple who didn't actually meet each other until a chance occurrence on a faraway mission field. Here are Bram and Sandy to make introductions.
On Compassion Radio today, we have another Josiah Venture couple with us. Now, they're unique in that God found them without them even knowing they were going to be found together. So this couple met each other on the mission field. So we have Johnny and Brooke Stevens of Josiah Venture. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Great.
Now, the two of you, as I mentioned, met on the road, so to speak, walking alongside each other, doing the work of the Lord together in the country of Slovenia. And now we're just becoming familiarized ourselves with that country, what God's doing there, because it's been like a black hole on the map. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been many Christians there. We've learned that there was maybe a few hundred, and over the course of Josiah Venture's work there in the past 20 years, the church has at least doubled, which is astounding in terms of percentage, but it's still a very small community. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about your walk there and how you met each other along the way.
I moved to Slovenia in 2003, and I was out there because I heard about the need for youth ministry. I studied youth ministry at Multnomah Bible School in Portland, and when I heard about at that time there was only one full-time youth worker in all of the Protestant churches in the whole country.
One youth worker for the country of Slovenia.
In all of the Protestant churches there was one youth worker, and I had just finished my degree and was praying about what was next, and I just kind of had that the Lord was leading me to step out, and I realized when I started studying youth ministry, I never saw myself as a youth pastor, but I knew that I wanted to work with young people because there were people who invested in my life when I was a teenager, and I just know that you make those critical decisions as a teenager of where your life is going to be, and I, recognizing that very few people were doing that with young people in Slovenia, I just thought, if there's any way I can be a part of this, then I'm willing. So I moved out in 2003.
And you, at that point, were in a cultural context in America where you probably couldn't think of anything else other than being a youth pastor. How else can you minister to youth?
I actually need to correct. It was 2004 that I moved out.
It was 2004.
It was 2004. So I was first exposed to Josiah Venture in 2003. I came on a vision trip, and I came here to the Czech Republic and got to see the way that they were training young leaders. And when I went to Slovenia, that was when I first heard about the one youth pastor. Mm. And so I remember thinking, if there's any way that I could be a part of an organization like this and start at the ground level, and see that grow. And so I was out there.
You don't get much more ground level than one person.
Yeah. So I moved out with, there were four other singles, so a group of five of us that studied together at Multnomah. And we were just doing relational ministry. So our leaders at that time, they just said, go out and meet people. That was our job description. Go meet young people, spend time with them, do what they're doing. So we would skateboard, we would do sports, we would any way that we could think of to build relationships with young people. And through that, we saw a group form. Young people would come to our camps that we were doing, and we would follow up with Bible studies. And there was a group of teenagers that began to trust Christ and grow, and I didn't realize how historical it was. Mm-hmm. You know, now even looking back, it's the kind of thing where a lot of those people that at the first English camp that I was a part of, who are still, they're leading, they are still a part of our ministry, and that was now 13 years ago. I heard of this young American missionary girl named Brooke, but I didn't really know her that well because she was in doing other things.
Brooke, yeah. What brought you to Sylvania then?
Yeah, I felt when I was in college, I studied marketing in college, so it wasn't like I saw myself as a missionary in any way, but there was something that was always on my heart that I wanted to experience God in another culture, and I had a couple different key relationships that were kind of encouraging me to step out. So, yeah, I moved over also in 2004, just a couple months after Johnny. But I knew a guy that was living in Slovenia that was coaching American football and playing American football. Mm-hmm. And he said, Slovenes love sports. You love sports. Just come over and make that your ministry. So I did. I moved over. I met a girl who knew a coach. I met the coach, and I played basketball in Slovenia for 2 years as a ministry.
Basketball as a ministry.
Yeah, basketball as a ministry. It was building relationships, like being, and you know, with sports, you have to rely on each other, and you mm-hmm. have to trust each other.
Right.
And so with that, I was into their community, into their group of people, and was really able to share the gospel. And then shortly after that, the Lord opened doors for me to play softball in Slovenia, which no one had really heard much of softball in Slovenia.
Okay.
I always have to say it's like baseball.
But bigger,
yeah.
A bigger ball, yeah.
Anyway, it was incredible. It was, you know, one of the girls in the team was like the woman of peace. So she would invite me into different events and then ask me to lead Bible studies. She wasn't a believer, but she just, mm-hmm. she had said, we want to know you. And this is obviously the most important thing to you, so tell
this
us
This is
about
a
it.
Principle of Josiah Venture, to find the person of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talked about a lot. We've heard it in many contexts. So you've been trained to look for that. What is the quality of the person of peace that you're trained to look for, that you know God's going to use as a tool to usher in the kingdom?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is somebody that doesn't allow culture to be a barrier. And so they see the heart of someone, and their worldview oftentimes isn't so closed off that they're not open. And so with this young woman, she wanted to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know her and to be in. So she was the path. That's what I would say. I don't know what you would say.
Yeah, I think it's they're usually people that aren't so concerned with standing out or being different. And they're the kind of people that they can open doors
mm-hmm.
With just who they are, their personality. And yeah.
I know it's a complex kind of concept, and you're
yeah.
trained at many different levels through Josiah Venture to look for these kind of people. So I've been kind of curious about how they frame the context of, or the qualifications or the qualities of people like this. Well, it's neat to find that out.
And it is interesting because I think a lot of times we don't even recognize who they are until we start looking back, and you're like, whoa, all these doors are, where are these open doors coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And you look back, it's almost in hindsight that you recognize how significant certain people are, and,
mm-hmm.
and I don't necessarily always recognize it ahead of time. Like, oh, this person will be significant. I'll spend time with this person. But a lot of times, it is just through one thing after another, and you begin to look around and like, well, things are moving forward.
It seems to have a lot in common with the biblical image of entertaining angels unawares. That you
mm-hmm.
have a gift
mm-hmm.
of hospitality,
mm-hmm.
and that you're unafraid of emissaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're eager to find out what's out there,
mm-hmm.
and those kind of people welcome you in. You are ambassadors for a kingdom, but you're kind of undercover as well,
mm-hmm.
and that you're not trying to raise too many red flags for people and cut things off or shut doors accidentally.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for these door openers for you mm-hmm. to help be your docent, your personal guide, but your friend along the journey as well.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting too how the Lord uses someone that's not even a believer
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and used that girl in your life,
yeah.
Brooke, to open doors
oh, yeah.
and to bring you probably more people that you could connect with
mm-hmm.
that you maybe couldn't have connected with on your
yeah.
own.
Yeah, and there's still relationships I have with them, and you know through that ministry I have deep relationships. We didn't have there weren't a lot of people that trusted Christ through that, but I know that, I mean, they asked me some of the the most amazing questions. So I know that they're all on a journey.
And a lot still, of seeds were planted.
Yeah, a ton. And it was a season I'm really thankful for.
Well, and I think even I got to kind of see what happened in her heart through that, and her love for Slovenes, her love for Slovenia. And because once we started dating, I remember, because I was working with Josiah Venture, and I was familiar with being a part of an organization that has a vision that is going somewhere that I wanted to be a part of. And I remember seeing her, and she didn't have much structure. She didn't have a lot of direction. That was all coming from just her passion to follow Jesus and love the people around her. And
so that's a pretty courageous woman you're looking at.
I admired that in her really early on, and just remember feeling like, what would it be like for her to be in to join this movement, essentially, because we want to see a movement of God among the youth of Central and Eastern Europe that finds its home in the local church and transforms society. And so that's something, it's a big vision. It's a vision that we are excited to make sacrifices, mm-hmm. and pay the price. And early on, yeah, when we first started dating, I just remember feeling like, man, if she had some vision and...
Well, can I just say too that when we were dating, we'd both been in Slovenia for 3.5 years. We'd only been dating for probably a couple months. And I remember a walk we had, and I said, I don't want to spend the rest of my life here. It was hard. It was a really hard season. I felt really alone, mm-hmm. because most of my teammates were men, and so it was just difficult. Anyway, I went to an English camp. It was my first English camp that Johnny was leading, actually, in the town that we live in now. And I was in a small group. I was in an English class, and it was, for me, it was, I think I had just been feeling like maybe God's not doing something here, because it was just difficult. And then I went to this English camp, and I walked away with this, just blown away, mm-hmm. by these young people that wanted to know Jesus. And it was just like this. I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't wait for the follow-up. I couldn't wait to meet these girls. I couldn't wait to just, you know, after working for, stepping in so far with people that had lots of questions but weren't actually making the decision to follow Christ and then be discipled, to then go to this camp and see people that wanted to follow Christ and be discipled. It was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. I was... for sure at that moment, like, I'm in. This is what I want to be a part of. I don't want to miss the miracle.
It's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
You are listening to Compassion Radio, and we're so grateful that you're listening today. You know, friend, one easy way you can make an impact on the world this month is by supporting our Bibles for Slovenia project. And know the thrill of placing a Bible into the hands of a Slovene new believer. For your gift this month of $24 or more, we'd be delighted to send you a very special premium in the form of a dual language Bible. And prayerfully consider joining our vision team with your consistent monthly gift to help keep Compassion Radio on the air on this radio station you're now listening to. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online anytime, day or night, at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get you back now to today's program.
You both then step across the line together and decide we're to be married. That this person's been walking alongside me in the same country. How many other people were walking with you through this country? Not many.
Yeah. Well, I like the way you put it earlier, Johnny. You said we're kind of doing ministry and we walk, and I look to my right and there she is. Yeah, so it's like God said, okay, here she is. Yeah. Now join this. You know, these two really great dynamic people, mm-hmm. together, and he's got great plans for you.
And we literally met in the grocery store. And so that's always part of, like, what I first mentioned is, like, we met in the grocery store.
It's one of the worst pickup stories ever.
But yeah, it was, I think we were serving in Slovenia for 3 years as singles, both pretty much the same time frame. And we look back, and it was incredible what God was doing in our hearts as individuals, preparing us for the marriage that we have now today.
Mm-hmm. Now you confessed up to us during lunch about what actually happened during those first 5 years. you start doing all the work that you think you're supposed to do, and you're being successful in getting the job done, mm-hmm. yet you hit the skids after about 5 years, and you were spent, yeah. which is not unusual in missions in general, that there's a wasting away of things, mm-hmm. like all your tank is empty eventually, mm-hmm. and there's burnout. Mm-hmm. That's not uncommon. But you have something around you in Josiah Venture that turned the tide for you, and what was that?
And I don't think I realized how much I was operating out of my own strength, but it was just, I was just running on empty. And I remember we came to a conference, and we were entering into a time of worship, and worship through music is really, really a big part of who I am. And I was just standing there, and just, I felt like a zombie. I was trying to sing, I couldn't even pretend. It was the point at which I think I just realized, not only did I realize that, I think for a long time the Lord had been really specifically calling me to action in some certain areas, as far as leading my family, leading our ministry, engaging with the people around me. But the longer I went in my own strength, the more I just kind of would pull back and play it safe and give in to fear or whatever it was.
Or you would be doing it for me.
Yeah. Or even the way that I would engage my daughter, I didn't want her to turn out messed up, so I need to love her, you know. So I was responding out of fear. I want to have a good marriage, so I need to be loving my wife. And I just found that I was being very reactive, trying to kind of respond rather than listen to what the Lord had for me, for us and our family, and stepping out in faith.
It's a tough realization that you walk into a worship environment, all you have is a bag of dust to offer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's hard, but you realize you obviously were challenged by the Spirit to realize this, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but then something else happened. What?
So Josh was one of my leaders at the time. There were some work-related things that he could confront me on, because it was the point where things were falling through the cracks. I was just not being faithful to some of the things that just as a missionary that I was responsible for. And he said to me, he said, "Johnny, what's most concerning to me is what's going on in your heart." And he said, "You know, we want to see you. We want to take you to Jesus." And he and some of the other guys that I work with really wanted to see. They saw that I was...
You were the paralyzed guy.
Yeah.
They were the friends that took you to Jesus.
Yeah, Josh used that analogy and said, "We want to carry you to Jesus, you know, dig a hole in the roof and lower you down." Mm-hmm. So we spent some time in prayer. And it was hard because it's the kind of thing where, you know, being confronted with the reality of the what's inside of us as humans and where I think we can go on our own can be really scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to be with guys who love me enough and trust Jesus enough to see redemption in that, yeah. and see hope on the other side of it, even when I couldn't.
Your superiors or your team members saw you, Johnny, and realized that burnout was, if not already in full-blown effect, it was imminent. And you admitted you felt like a zombie. You couldn't even go into worship. You feel like you had to express yourself. You had nothing to give. And you weren't, as you put it, you weren't going to lie anymore. So God knew. And you were saying to God, "Now I know." And they said, "Here's the path forward." And so they did that. They came around you and in firmness, but with gentleness and with kindness said, "This is how we're going to bring you forward." So tell me what that process was like and what word came to you, what truth you clung on to during that process and how it brought the two of you back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one. I knew that a significant part of it, of the coming out the other side, would be just coming before the Lord in prayer. And so I spent some time with some of the guys that I work closely with. And through that time, there was one point where Josh had asked me, like, "Just, do you feel like the Lord is laying anything on your heart?" And just the three words, mission, action, and calm, came to mind. Where it was just like, I knew that I was being very passive. I was being very fearful, but just kind of recognizing that God has created me for specific purposes, for things that actually matter, to be a part of His mission. Even the term missionary feels uncomfortable to me at times, but to be able to stand firm and say, God has a specific mission and purpose for me and for our family, and that's something that I can be proud of, and
yes.
step forward with action, mm-hmm. and boldness, but then also calm. I can be peaceful. I can rest knowing that He's the one that's doing the work. Mm-hmm. And there was a time a little bit later on in the week, I was praying with another friend, and she had partway through the time, she said, the Lord's bringing to mind this one line from a song, and it was just, "Rescue the souls of men." Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And so we were praying, we were spending a little bit more time, and we were back in this back room of our conference center. It was it's the sound booth where they kind of do some of the, they have a soundboard for our conferences. And we kept having all of these distractions. People would come in because they didn't know that we were back there praying and talking, and they would say, sorry for the, you know, like, we're fine, you know, it's, you know, all these interruptions, you know, kept happening. And at one point, I kind of just, because I felt like the volume was turned off. Like I wasn't hearing from the Lord. And this friend, she said, you know, I think we're back here. Because we were like, should we go move somewhere else where we can find somewhere quiet? And she said, no, I feel like we need to be here because the Lord's going to turn up the volume. Like, mm-hmm. he wants to speak. And so we continued to talk and pray. And there was a point where it was, I knew that what was next was just kind of really, I was struggling with just some of the realities of life and death. And without getting into too many of the details, just recognizing that we're playing... there's high stakes in life, mm-hmm. and death is one of those realities that I don't know that I go through every day recognizing the fullness of it. And I was at the point of just of really having to struggle with the Lord of saying, like, do I really believe that you're good? Do I really believe that even in the darkest times that you have redemption, that you're faithful, and that you're taking brokenness and you're bringing light and hope? And I was at this point where I was just waiting, like, okay, like I needed him to speak. And at that point, another distraction took place, and there's a inkjet printer sitting at about head level in this back room in the sound booth, and it just starts going back and forth, back and forth. And it stopped, and then it goes again. And it prints, so we're back there praying, and it just, this major distraction, this inkjet printer going back and forth.
And you're about ready to go post at this point.
You know, and I kind of just jokingly was like, okay, you know, here we got a message from the Lord. And my friend Josh, he reaches up and he grabs a stack of papers, and he said, I think we do have a message from the Lord. It was the text from the song, Wonderful Merciful Savior. Mm-hmm.
Rescues the souls of men.
Mm-hmm. And I read through that text. You know, it talks about who God is. Father, Son, and Spirit. And it was just incredible to hear the Father's heart for me, mm-hmm. his purpose for our family. What had happened was the worship team had made a last-minute change, and so they added that song to their set list, and they printed it wirelessly. And so they came in. It was another one that, you know, they came in like, we're so sorry that we interrupted your time. We're like, you have no idea. You have no idea. And I still have that printout in my office.
Hmm. Okay, Johnny, Brooke, you're telling me a story about being surrounded at a crucial time by people who have the wisdom and the insight and the faith in you and in the God that you serve, to believe that if they lowered you in front of Jesus, he was going to heal you, and he was going to heal a marriage. That's what I'm sensing in the story. So I want to get into that on tomorrow's program. So can you stay with us for another day?
Oh, yes.
Okay. We'll be back with Johnny and Brooke Stevens of Josiah Venture on tomorrow's program. Thanks again.
We're so blessed this month to be able to partner with a very special organization. I think we say that every month, but they all are very special organizations. But Josiah Venture is something that really is amazing. These young people are just incredible, and what they are accomplishing for the Lord is unprecedented in former communist countries. That is our compassion project for this month. But as you know, we have to pay the bills before we can reach out in love, and we want so much to bless this project. So we need your help, friends. We really need your support. I know that you're listening. I know that you're out there. So please, in love, keep us going. Let us help the amazing things that we bring to you. And this month, for a gift of $24 or more, we have a special gift to send to you. You know that our project is giving Bibles to new believers in the new translation for Slovenia. But we have a dual language Bible for you as a gift. It will be one of the Slavic languages and English. We want you to be able to see what the new believers there will be receiving. So our gift to you, if you request it, will be a dual language Slavic English Bible for your gift of $24 or more. Please know that we know it's difficult, that we know the economy is difficult for many people. But we don't want to lose our voice bringing you the stories of what's happening around the world. We don't want to lose our opportunity to bring Christians to you that need your love and support and your prayer. Please love us. And please, if you haven't, join our vision team. God bless you.
Yes, friend, the vision team is so very important. In whatever amount you can commit to on a monthly basis to support this ministry, be it $20, $30, or $50 a month, would be a tremendous blessing. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or on the World Wide Web at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll be back again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.